Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your goodness. You have done great and mighty things in our lives. And we know that you have just started. You have not completed your work in our lives. Lord, we bless you. We give you all the glory that the work that you have finished, even at the foundation of the world concerning us, will be made manifest. You will complete the manifestation of your plans for our lives in this earthen vessel. Lord of glory, we're so thankful that you have never forgotten us. For Lord, you said, even if a woman forgets the child of her womb, that you will never forget us. And Lord, we know you never forget. We know you have graven us in the palm of your hands, and our walls are ever before you. Lord, you have beset us with your spirit round about. Your eyes are upon us. We cannot hide from you, for we are the beloved of the Lord. Lord of glory, thank you as you guide us through your scriptures, Lord, as you make yourself known to us. Thank you, Lord of glory, that today we will know we are children of prophecy, Lord. Lord, we bless you. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And everyone says, amen, hallelujah, hallelujah. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. And let's open to 1 Peter chapter 1. Lord, we bless you. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we are going to take it together from verse 3 to 13. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3 to verse 13. Please let's go. Are we all there? Please say amen. Amen. Okay, let's go. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. We give God all the glory. And so again, right from verse 3, we see that we have been begotten again into the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You can see right from there, even if you look at verses 1 and 2, when you look at the whole thing, you will see the Holy Spirit and the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. He is the Spirit of grace. Remember, God is what? Spirit. God is what? Spirit. And so we have to truly understand the divine substance of God. God is spirit. And so we see right from there the Spirit of God being made mention, because it is the Spirit of God that raised up his Son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. And you can see, even with the coming of Christ, it is already spoken, and then you see the Spirit of God. What are we saying? Everything God speaks, he performs by his word. And so again, begotten unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the same Spirit of resurrection and life, the same God who raises up the dead. He is the one who raised up his Son for you and I to have hope, for you and I to have a future, for you and I to even have eternity. And so again, verse 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that faded not away, reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So we are born again by faith, and we know the power of God, the grace of God works according to faith. And then we are kept again by the same power of God. So the scripture says, by his power he translated us from all the kingdom of darkness, from all the powers of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear Son. By grace, by the power of God, are we saved, not of ourselves. And then here we are kept, even in God's kingdom, we are kept by the same power of God. Remember, the scripture says Jesus is the power of God. The Holy Spirit is also the power of God, because they are one and same glory. So you see, where you see the power of God, always realize it is not abstract. It is God, the Holy Spirit. God is Spirit. It is God himself. For Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they are what? They are one. Let's put our hands there. We'll be coming back there. Let's open to 1 John chapter 5. And let us look at what the scripture says in verse 7. The same glory, the same glory. The Father is the glory, the source of his glory, the source of everything divine. And then he duplicated himself and called his duplicate Jesus Christ. And we thank God that he duplicated himself again and called the second duplicate the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit and gave him to his Son. And we give God all the glory that the Son of God duplicated himself and gave himself the same glory to you and I as we accepted him as Lord. And we have the same glory, the Holy Ghost, the power of God, the Spirit of grace dwelling on the inside of you and I. Please let's read 1 John chapter 5 verse 7. Please let's go. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. and these three are one. Please let's go again. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one because they are of same glory. Let's go back to that 1 Peter chapter 1. And so again, we are kept by the power of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. He's dwelling on the inside of you and I. Have you accepted Christ as Lord? This is your testimony. You are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6 says, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now, see a key. Yes, you and I, in this earthen vessel, we will go through things. But guess what? The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, always comes in on the scene of our lives. No matter what we're going through, the power of God will keep us till the Son of Man, the power of God, the Holy Ghost, the same Spirit of God dwelling on the inside of you and I, and in our midst, He will keep us till the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, comes in on the scene of our lives to put an end to whatever we are going through and manifest the will of the Father. Verse 8 says, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing. So your duty is to keep what? Believing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That faith, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we believe and therefore speak. So your duty and my duty is to keep believing the word of God, for God and his word are one and same. And remember, the word of God is also the word of his power. For in that glory you have truth, the word of God in the glory. God and his word are one and same. As he speaks his word, those very words are life. Those very words are what? Power, grace. And so your duty is to keep believing. My duty is to keep believing the word of life, the word of power. For God and his word are one and same. And so again, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. See that? The glory, because we are believing and we keep believing, the glory, the Spirit of God, the power of God will be filling us more and more. Do you see how we are kept by the power of God unto the appearance of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, in time of trouble? Even in good times, we are still kept by the power of God. For he will come, the Son of Man will come also to manifest breakthroughs, blessings. He will manifest great and mighty things for you and I. Remember, he is the one who has come to not judge the world, but to perform the word of God. John chapter 5, verse 17 to 18. Sorry, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18 says so, that he has come to perform the word of God. Nothing will pass by, no jot not eaten. He has come to perform. And so the Son of Man will always come to manifest the will of the Father, the purposes, the plans of God for your life and my life, already written down in the book of truth in heaven at the foundation of the world. And so always remember, God has plans for you and I, and it is already kept in heavenly places for us. And at due times, the Son of Man will be visiting. In fact, he visits us every day. He visits you and I, his children, every day. And so at certain season too, in line with the plans of God for your life, the Son of Man will make these plans, these favors, blessings, breakthroughs. He will make them to become reality. They will be made manifest in your life at his own appointed time of life. Verse 9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now, see a key. Everything here, you see the Holy Spirit and the power of God being spoken together, because the Holy Spirit is the power of God. Christ is also spoken because Jesus is the glory of God and also the power of God. So God and his power, they are one and the same. Where you find the word of God, you find the person of God, and you find the power of God all together. For God has in the person of himself all of his word, all of his power, all of his life, all that he is. And we give God all the glory. Verse 10 says, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you. Please underline that. You are a child of prophecy. The scriptures prophesied of the power of God, the might, the strength of God, the virtue that should come to you. In other words, you will enjoy the power of God. You will enjoy the Spirit of God. You will enjoy all that is in the glory of God. And so, you can see that you are a child of prophecy. All what the prophets were saying in the Old Testament, it was concerning you and I. We are children of prophecy. Please let's read verse 10 again. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that shall come unto you. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, as Christ is being revealed to you, you are searching the scriptures. As you are growing in the knowledge of Christ, grace like a river will be pouring forth into your heart and into my heart. that grace already prophesied that you and I, we will enjoy in Christ. So we are all children of prophecy. The grace, the power of God, it is already prophesied that we will enjoy the power of Christ. And we have that power on the inside of you and I. Christ in us, our hope of glory. The Holy Spirit is dwelling inside of you and I. That resurrection power of Christ is on the inside of you and I. It is already prophesied that we will enjoy same. Please, let's open to Romans chapter 6 verse 4 so you can see that we are children of prophecy. You are a child of prophecy. It is already written concerning you and I that we will enjoy the power of resurrection. We will enjoy the life of God. We will be flooded daily with the power of God. Things we can't do, we will start to do by the power of Christ. That is why the scripture says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. That is why the scripture says God is able to make available all grace so that we are thoroughly equipped unto every good work. Grace in abundance. That is why the scripture says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We have to truly understand that power is available for you and I. It is already prophesied concerning you and I that we will enjoy the glory of God. The glory of God, God called the Holy Spirit, is the power of God. Is the power of Christ. That is why Christ gave us his spirit to dwell on the inside of us, fulfilling what he had promised right from the garden. And so, please let's read Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Please let's go. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so should we also walk in newness of life. So now we've seen it, that the glory of the Father raised up Jesus. Let's flip forward to chapter 8, verse 11. Let's see what it says there. Romans 8, verse 11. Please, let's go. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, see a key. The same power of resurrection and life, the glory of Christ, the Spirit of God, the same Holy Spirit, the same glory of the Father that raised up the Son is dwelling on the inside of you and I. The same power that created the heavens and the earth, the same glory dwells on the inside of you and I because we have accepted Christ. He is also called the Holy Spirit. Now it says here that he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. In other words, God, who raised up his son from the dead, will also supply power and life because the same spirit of God is dwelling on the inside of you and I. And this is what we need to understand, that we are children of prophecy. It is already spoken concerning you and I that God will supply his power. He will help us. He will perform his will. It is not by might, it is not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In fact, let's open to it, Zechariah chapter 4, and we will take the next verse with it as well, Zechariah chapter 4, so that we will understand that the Spirit of God is with all of divine power. We have the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. He's also called the glory of God, the glory of the Father, the glory of Christ. He's also called the Holy Spirit. He is the same glory of the Father and the Son. So we have God dwelling on the inside of us. Everything the Father, so is the Son, and so is the glory, the Holy Ghost, given to you and I. Please, let's read Zechariah chapter 4. Let's take it from verse 6 to 7. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Now see a key, the spirit of the Lord of hosts, and then you see the headstone. That's who? Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the rock. And then you see grace, grace. In other words, power, power, might, might is associated. It is of the Spirit of God. And it is of the owner of the glory given to us, our Lord Jesus Christ. So we see the person dwelling on the inside of us is filled with power, is filled with life, is filled with the word of God. He does all things according to the word of God in our lives. Please, let's open to Micah chapter 3. One thing we have to understand is that right from Genesis, the same glory, the same Spirit of God that is dwelling on the inside of us had been in operation. We see that the glory of God, the Spirit of God, for God is who? God is Spirit. He spake his word and said, let us make man in our own image. And so he spoke and he performed. We see in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, he breathed his glory into man. In other words, you see the word spoken and the power of God performing his very spoken word. And then we move on to Abraham. God spake in Genesis chapter 12. I will bless you. You will be a blessing. He spoke the word of blessing And he himself performed his word. He performed his word. And so again, you see the word of God and the spirit of God together, for God and his word are one and the same. And then we see that the glory of God as pillar of fire by night, pillar of cloud by day, he led the sons, the descendants of Abraham into the promised land. You can see God performs his word. He has plans for everyone, all the people of faith, everyone. You will see the word and the glory. The glory performs the very word that the glory speaks. God performs his word. God is spirit. He speaks and he does his word. And we see the same thing too in the life of David. God spoke in 2 Samuel chapter 7 concerning his life, and God performed the word of his power. He brought everything to pass. And then he also spoke concerning his son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will be made manifest and die for our sins. And he gave him his glory. He gave him his glory to come with him and perform everything he had spoken concerning him. And he's the same thing to you and I, sons of God. Before he made you and I, before he made anything, he had already made plans. His plans and purposes for you and I is already done, packaged, even at the foundation of the world. And guess what? He put his spirit. The day you accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost came to live on the inside of you and I to perform God's purpose. You have to understand that. We are children of prophecy. The power to manifest the purpose, the will, and the plans of God in our lives is already given to you and I. That's why the scripture says the Holy Spirit will help our infirmities. He will pray according to the will of God, because he knows the plans he has for each one of us. He has already packaged his own plans, even at the foundation of the world, for all his sons, you and I. He has plans right even before we were formed in our mother's wombs. Every stage of our lives, he has plans. He will make manifest his plans. If you are a doctor today or a carpenter, God is part of God's plans. Everything we are, what we are, by his grace. We have to understand that God has plans individually for all his sons. And when we came into the kingdom of God, remember, the same Holy Spirit that helped our Lord Jesus to fulfill the will of God in his life, the same Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead and set him at the right hand side of the Father, lifting him far above all principalities and powers, the same Holy Spirit is dwelling on the inside of us to perform the will of the Father. Please, let's open to, before we come back to Micah, let's look at Romans chapter 8, and we will see this from verse 26 to 28. The Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you and I. He will help us. He will perform the will, the purpose, the plans of God for our lives. Every stage, everything. Only desire the plans, the will, and the purpose of God. God has made fantastic plans for each and every one of us. Look at how God planned for his son to be a carpenter in profession. Oh yes. So, if God has made you to be a plumber, that is the best plan for you. If God has made you to be a doctor, that is God's plan for you. And I tell you, look at how the best plan for his son is seated now at his right hand side. So there is no need desiring any other plan. It is God's plan for our lives that the Holy Spirit will perform. If his son had aspired to be something else apart from a carpenter's son, the Holy Spirit would not perform it. Remember, the Holy Spirit conceived him in the womb of his mother, who was married to a carpenter. So the Holy Spirit knew she was espoused to a carpenter. We have to understand the things of God. Please, let's read Romans chapter 8 from verse 26 to 28. Let's go. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now see, he will pray according to the will of God for us, according to the plans of God for us. He will manifest the purposes of God, the plans of God already packaged and finished at the foundation of the world for you and I. Not what we want. If I look across the fence and I see somebody with Rolls Royce and I start to say, it's Rolls Royce I want. That is not the will of God, the plans of God for my life. The Holy Spirit will not help me. And of course, if I want to help myself, I will go and steal money or even go and steal the car. But those are my own plans that will come to grief. I will end up badly because I chose my own plans. But the plans of God, if I submit by waiting on him, as we are all doing now, we are waiting on the Holy Spirit. And then we also do the same at home, searching the scriptures. We are waiting on the Holy Spirit. And then he will help us. Look at, even in intercessions, is always according to the will of God. And then he will work all things together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called, according to what? His purpose, the plans of God, the will of God for our lives. So we have to understand that we are children of prophecy. We have the Holy Spirit who will perform the words of God already spoken concerning us and written in heaven and made and performed, he will make these plans, he will make them manifest in our lives at various stages. Once we continue to wait on him, desiring only the plans of God for our lives. Amen. Amen. And so we see a great key. We are children of prophecy. God has given us his Spirit to strengthen us and to make manifest his plans in our lives, all of our days, every day of our lives, every stage. God is available for his will. Remember, he says it in his word that daily he loads us with his word benefit. Even to do little things at home, it is the plan of God. It is him manifesting his plans in our lives. Please let's open to Micah chapter 3, verse 8. We have to understand that all the prophets too, they were fulfilling, or the Holy Spirit was manifesting the plans of God for their lives. He was manifesting the plans of God for their lives. If a prophet Isaiah, everything he spoke, every event that happened in his life, the way God used him, it was already spoken and written down concerning him. He was anointed the same as we are also anointed, for the anointing is dwelling on the inside of us to perform God's plans. So Isaiah was anointed to also perform God's plans, the will of God in his life, to speak the words that we have. Same thing too. Every apostle, all the prophets written down in the Bible, they were anointed to do all what they did. That is the will, the plans, and the purposes of God for their life. You and I were anointed on the inside. We are anointed also on top of us and with us. The Holy Spirit will perform the will, the plans of God, and the purposes of God for our lives all of our days. We've seen the example of how the Holy Spirit walks through the sons of men, performing the will of God. If we look closely to the scriptures, we will see God's hands in everything. None of the prophets did anything on their own. It is the Spirit of God. It is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Adam and Eve were very much okay, excelling in the garden. The Holy Spirit was with them. But when they sinned, the Holy Spirit left, and we can see the opposite came to be. And it's the same thing too. Now we have the Holy Spirit back. He will perform the will of God in our lives. Only desire the plans God has for you. I'm telling you, Jesus' profession as a carpenter was the best for him. And we have even some of the prophets, most of them were not even soldiers or or high-ranking men. No. But that was God's plans. It was the Spirit of God performing sin. And now we see Micah telling you and I by the Spirit of God that whatever he spake was of God. Micah chapter 3 verse 8, he was saying that the Spirit of God helped him to speak those words. The Spirit of God gave him the very words. The Spirit of God taught him the words of God. Please let's read it. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. Please let's go again. But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we see a key. The Spirit of God strengthened and taught all the prophets, everyone to understand and know and to also speak. We know the scripture says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we believe and therefore speak. The Spirit of God, the power of God, is also called the Spirit of faith. And so we see that God will help you and I. Now, where we're going this morning is this. Yes, the scripture says we will receive strength. And we see the example God has promised. Please let's look at some verses. Let's remind ourselves that yes, all over the scriptures we have the promise of God that we will have the Spirit of God, and he has fulfilled it. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us to perform his will. And yet somehow we all know or sense that we are not really enjoying what we are supposed to enjoy. Why is this? Why are we all running helter-skelter? Why are we all like, oh, there is more to the power of God. There is more to what we should be enjoying. For we see in the scriptures the manifestation of the power of God on the people of God is not only on the prophets, on groups of people. David had mighty men who were strengthened with power. All those who made the tabernacle were given skills. We see Daniel and his friends doing things extra, you know, beyond the normal. And then we see even millions held in the desert. So we know that there is no limit to the power of God. And we know that the power of God is dwelling on the inside of you and I. But why is that power not being made manifest in our lives more and more? And then a lot of us, sons of God, why are we not enjoying the manifestation of the glory of God dwelling on the inside of us? There's no need for us to go looking for the power, because the power is dwelling on the inside of us, and the power is in our midst, just as he said. Please let's read Isaiah chapter 43. Let's take it from verse 19. Please let's go. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field shall honor me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. These people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. See, it is you. That is you and I being spoken of. The scripture says we will enjoy all these things. Please let's look at Isaiah chapter 30 from verse 18 to 21. You will see the Lord has said he will be gracious unto us. He has put his spirit in us. Who will strengthen you and I? He has said we will enjoy his power. He has not said we should will go about looking for his power. No. He has said he will give us his power. So why are we going about to look for it again? He said he will give us, and he has Christ in us, our hope of glory. So why are we going to look all over the place again? Why are we not enjoying the power he has put in us? Why are we not enjoying the power that is dwelling with us? He's the glory in our midst. He's a wall of fire round about us. So why are we as his people not enjoying his grace like a river? Please let's read Isaiah chapter 30 from verse 18 to 21. Please let's go. And therefore will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. And for the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Amen. What are we saying? The Lord says he will be gracious unto us, and that we should what? Wait on him. He will bless those that wait for him. We are waiting. He will bless, means he will what? Empower. He will supply his grace. We already have his grace on the inside of us. And so we see what the Lord is saying. Please let's open to Psalm 84, verse 11. We see the same thing. Christ in us, our hope of glory. The glory he gave to us is filled with grace. It is his power. So we don't need to go looking. All we have to do is keep waiting so as to enjoy the power of the Holy Ghost dwelling in us. We can have his power flooding our lives, our homes, everything. All we have to do is what? Keep waiting. Let's look at Psalm 84, verse 11 and 12. Please, let's go. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusted in thee. So he has given us the glory. And we know the glory has the grace, the power. So Christ in us, our hope of glory. Please let's flip forward to or is it forward, backwards to Psalm 29, and let's look at verse 11. So the person dwelling on the inside of us, the scripture says this is what he will do in our lives. He will be gracious. He will bless us. He will perform the will of God, the plans and purposes of God for us and our household, the same way he did for father of faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He made them into nations, the same way he did for everyone. God is the same, Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let's look at Psalm 29, verse 11. Please, let's go. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Let's go again. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And we have the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit is willing and ready to strengthen you and I and to bless us with peace. He's ready to perform the will of God, to manifest the will of God in our lives. Please, let's flip backwards again to Psalm 27. Let's read verse 14. Please, let's go. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Please, let's go again. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Did he say, wait for 1 year? You keep waiting all of your days on the face of the earth. And when we keep waiting, he says what? He will strengthen our heart. We will keep enjoying in our heart, in our spirit man, the power of God, the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of us. Just as we are waiting now, looking through the scriptures, we are receiving strength in the heart. And when we pray too as well, because waiting means we are watching and praying. Watching. How do we watch? Look into the Word of God. The Word of God is the lamp and the light. So we keep looking into the Word of God and pray according to the Word of God. What we are seeing of the Word of God, we use it to pray, in short. And so when we keep waiting, he will strengthen, we will enjoy the power of God. For God needs us to believe him. You need to believe that God has plans for your life. Every stage of your life, God has plans for your life. And remember, he says, beloved, I will above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. So no matter the situation in your life, the end will be for good. That's what the scripture says. So you need now to keep looking, keep waiting, and believing him that no matter what is going on in the physical, in your life, your expected end is good. Everything will turn out for good. Just as he said that, beloved, I will above all things. I will. In other words, my plans, all the plans that he had purposed for you and I will always prosper you and I and bring us to his own expected end. It will do us good. We will be at peace and in health no matter what. So You have to keep waiting as you believe that no matter what, he will perform his will. He will perform his word. That word is already spoken and packaged even at the foundation of the world and put in heavenly places for you. The Holy Spirit is to take of what Jesus has planned for you and I and make it manifest. Remember John chapter 16 from verses 13 to 15. The Holy Spirit, as he's teaching us the word of God, revealing the word of God for us, as we are knowing now that God has plans for us, we believe he will start to make it manifest. We continue to wait and believe the Holy Spirit would take the things of Christ, the plans of God for you and I, and make it manifest. Please let's open to John chapter 16 so that we will see it there. All those plans, they are made by Christ. They are in Christ. They are put in Christ. They are available for you and I through the Spirit of Christ as we know him. John 16 from verse 13 to 15. Please let's go. I'll be it. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. The plans of the Father, the plans of Christ, one plan for each one of us, packaged. The plan made for you and I. They have the will of God, the purposes of God, every stage, day by day, year by year, all of our days in this earthen vessel, stage by stage. God has everything created for you and I, and they are in Christ. The Holy Spirit, as we are waiting on him, he will start to manifest all these plans in our lives, our household. He will show them to us, meaning he will make them manifest. We will see the plans of God for our lives. All the breakthroughs, they are in those plans. All the blessings, they have already been packaged. Everything we will be according to God is already in Christ available. If you want the plans, you keep waiting on him and he will keep manifesting. But if you want another plan, he can't help you and I. It is only his plans. And so now it brings us to James chapter 4. Please let's look at it. You know, if you want your own thing, you are being proud. If you don't want the plans of God, it is pride. If God says he has purpose for you to be a plumber or carpenter, and you don't want that, it is pride. If God has said okay, you will be an usher in his house, and you don't want that, it is pride. If God has said you'll be a pastor, and you don't want that, and you want to be a prophet, well, that will say, thus saith the Lord. Well, it is pride. But note one thing, God will not help you to be what he has not planned for you. And so it is the spirit of error. It is the devil that one will allow to wreak havoc But when we allow God to perform His will, as we humble ourselves, we receive great grace. Perhaps we need to look at the heart. Is the heart a good soil? Is the heart humble? Does the heart want the plans of God? Or is like, God, how can you plan this plan for me? Look at my brother there. He has a Rolls Royce. I want a Rolls Royce. No. Be happy for your brother and look to God's very own plan. In fact, many, they look at the Rolls Royce, perhaps God had actually planned for you to be the owner of a ship. Honestly, a carrier, you know, all this massive sea-going ship. I'm not talking about ship as in No. But because you were so taken up with the Rolls Royce and desire, wanting something else that is not according to God's plans for now, then you veered off and you allow the enemy to use you as a tool for him. But if we, with humbleness of heart, are ready and willing and patient and happy to receive the plans of God, I tell you, much grace. Yes, we are all waiting on Him daily and at home, but we need to look at our heart. Are we humble? Yes, we read the scriptures, but are we humble? Are we submitting to God? That submission includes submitting to His will, His plans, His purpose. Please let's read James chapter 4 from verse 6 to 10. Please let's go. But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall what? Lift you up. See that? Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up. He will supply grace. Grace will lift you up because you are a child of prophecy. Grace will lift you up. We have to apply humility to our waiting on God. We have to apply humility to our waiting on God. Let's use the example of the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. They were both waiting on the Lord, isn't it? Oh, yes. They were both waiting on the Lord. And the word of God both came to them. Only God is righteous. You are all sinners. You've all sinned. The Pharisee had sinned. The publican has sinned. Because as long as we are in this flesh, yes, we are sons of God, but we will still sin because of the fallen body and the soul. And so the word of God came. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Pharisee, you are a sinner. Publican, you are a sinner. They were in the house of God. So God spoke to the two of them. They all heard. All have heard the word of faith, isn't it? That's what Hebrews chapter 4 says. The same word was preached to all, isn't it? So, the same word was preached to the publican and the Pharisee. They were waiting, both waiting on God. They were in the house of God. But look at what the Pharisees' reaction. Ah, God, I'm not like that publican. I fast, I pay my tithes, I do this in your house. Him, he's the sinner. And what is he saying? God, you are a liar. I'm like you. You are righteous. I too. I'm righteous. That is the sinner. And so you see, pride, haughty spirit, arrogance. But look at that publican. He accepted, just as you have said, Lord, I have sinned. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And who received grace? Please, let's open to Luke chapter 18. We will see the story. And you will find out that it applies to us all. A humble heart has lost the zeal to argue against the word of God. You have to understand that. It has lost the fight to justify self. A humble heart will not give excuses for sin. Will not excuse self. Please, let's look at Luke 18, 9 to 14. Let's zero down to verses 13 and 14 to see the publican. Please, let's go. And the publican, standing afar off, will not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalted himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Is that not the same we have read in James chapter 4? God resisted the proud and gives grace to the humble. The publican humbled himself. When we say we are all waiting on the word of God is light. It will show the darkness in our lives. Things we are doing wrong. That is standard with the word of God. Because God is right, God is truth. And the ways that we came from, that is still in the soul and the body, the word of God will shine the light onto it, showing it for what it is. Sinful thoughts, sinful ways, sinful deeds. These two people, they are all sons of God, you know, children of covenant. And it's the same thing too. All what he wants is just acknowledge your sins. I should acknowledge my sin. You should acknowledge your sin. You don't need to scream it out. Look at the publican, only God heard him because the Pharisee did not even hear his prayer. The Pharisee was busy talking out loud, justifying himself. And yet all what he needed to do was just to acknowledge and say, forgive me. And so, you see, grace was supplied to the publican. It's not by how much we pray. See how the Pharisee prayed so loud. Drama. But he refused the word of God. he refused the word of God. Please let's open to Matthew chapter 21 and we'll see another incident. In this case, the word of God came to do things. It's the same thing too. The word of God comes to us all. Pay tithes. Verse 28 to 32. Please let's read it. But what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Why? Because they hearken. They yield humbly. Humbly they accept. They acknowledge. They are no longer arguing about whether to go or not to go. They are no longer arguing about whether to pay tithe or not to pay tithe. They yield. As the Father said that, yes. They trembled at the word of God. The humble is also called the perfect heart. Is also called the right heart. Is also called the good soil, the good ground that brings forth the fruit of the word of God.